cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, good morning everybody. The brand new month, November, and it's a big weekend for South Africa, so we brought in the biggest fish we could find to talk about rugby. Listen to this.
All right.
Yes, Ben Karpinski's here.
Great intro.
Kuku, the star of this week's first dates, is with us, and Sia Sangweni is with us too. Yeah, very good, nice. Leanne is also here, so she's just there. She's just doing her ablutions quickly.
Hello, Leanne.
Oh, is she abluting?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's in the bathroom. In fact, I can switch on the microphone, and then you can have a listen.
Oh, here we go.
How do you know this? Did she get to and say, Gareth, hold on, just gonna go to the toilet?
She said, "I'm just off the list." Everybody, just listen, and you can hear. Turn this music off and you'll get
it. So creepy you still have this microphone in the toilet.
I know. We put it in there to find out who it was who was messing up the loo for Jane, you know?
Yeah, but that was the men's. You have to go put in the ladies too.
Quite a big wee. Quite strong flow.
What a flow.
Gosh. Wow. That's quite something. That's you want to go back there or you think we've heard enough?
I don't know. You think she's going to flush and wash her hands? Okay, that's not a flush.
Very quiet in there. She's not humming or singing a theme tune or anything. Hang on there.
Oh,
well. I hope she's all right. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're off to a good start for the month of November. It is Friday, which is the best day. Oh, I love it. And there's a big weekend ahead. We've got some rugby. Some people had start to the weekend last night with Halloween.
Of course. Anyone trick-or-treat?
See, he's such a curmudgeon. No. He wouldn't even put out sweets for the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah, because sweets attract children. I'm with you in that. Hi, Leanne.
Hello, Leanne.
Let's
just find out, did she wash her hands?
That feels better.
Happier blut.
Yes, well done.
Happier bluting.
Well done.
Look at her. She looks lighter and brighter.
Usually you blow your nose as well. I'm very disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to take it further, but then I remembered the mic.
This is a little intrusive, isn't it? That mic does need to get sorted out. It does need to be looked into.
All right. So much to cover today. So first of all, Ben, the whole country is excited about the rugby. Even Sia managed to remember how many minutes there are in a half.
Yeah, he nailed that. Yeah, well, it's embarrassing.
He nailed that.
It's embarrassing when you guys do sport, because when Sia gets the time of a rugby match right, and that's a 5 minutes celebration. I mean, like, Gugu, you've got to step it up somewhere. I know you don't like sports.
He got me there, dude. I was like 45. He was like 40.
I mean, Sia is like... I mean,
lest we forget, I did play in the under-14F team.
Yeah.
So...
Sia, how can I forget? You tell me every time I see you.
Under 14, F.
You played lock and he ran away from the ball.
F. F for friendly.
F for, like, why even bother going to F? That's A, B,
Gareth,
C,
you don't need to
D,
focus
E,
on that.
F. That's the sixth team. in under 14.
In small boy age group, yeah.
F how many for classes? Failure.
No, but hang on. How many people were in that age of class?
We had a full team.
You had a full under 14
F team. A full under 14 F team. Yes. Granted, there were like double the size of a normal team, but
okay,
regardless.
So did the people get bigger? So if you went from F and you doubled their size, you got to E. And if you got to the E guys, you double their size and get to the D's and then so on.
No, just not bigger, just better.
F for frail.
Well, and F, they ran away from the ball. E, they kind of caught it. D, they wanted to tackle. And then C, B, and A there.
Look, and there's also a time hierarchy when it comes to high school sports. Like the first team match is always at like 1 in the afternoon. And that's where everyone goes. Our matches were always at like 6:30.
On a field so far off, you're actually playing in like someone's rented land.
There were like three like people dogs. Coming to watch.
Let me tell you how serious this rugby is.
Gareth, it's incredibly serious.
Friends of mine who never... gave a shit about rugby, and who I've never talked rugby with, are saying, what are you doing for the rugby on Saturday, right? Yeah. People like Randall Abrahams, who said to me,
go ahead. Bring
plans
it together.
For the rugby on Saturday? So I said to him, well, not really.
And then people say, where's your kiss?
Well, yes. Listen.
Look at you, Leah. It's like you said it before.
been said to me before.
So I've already got questions rolling in. Morning, Ben. What did you think of Liverpool-Arsenal game midweek?
Guys, I'm sorry. My life has evolved. I can't keep enduring the sadness of Arsenal. Oh. I mean, I've already had the Proteas this year imploding. I don't need Arsenal as well.
Do you see why I've just given up on sports since you left? You see, it's impossible to keep people happy.
Well, look, I don't watch the games, but what, Arsenal have had like 2-goal leads in the last week and they've blown both of them. They've got a guy with a 90s hairstyle who's actually quite shit, Emery, in charge. Like, everyone boos the players. No one knows who the captain really is. It's a joke. But then again, I think that's Arsenal. They're all more pantomime than they are a playing team at the moment.
Ooh. Well, here's a good question. Since it is the 1st of November, who made it through Sober October?
Not me.
Yeah, I had New York, and then I had 2 other days where I didn't fulfill my own requirements.
That's pretty good.
I think that's all right.
Yeah. It's a decent effort.
Yeah.
Look, I know I can switch it off. This is the funny thing, right? I never ever drink when I'm on my own, and I don't drink when they're not when there's not a bunch of people around and it's a social thing. And I don't ever feel the need to. I don't like think about alcohol during the day. I don't go,
I've got to take the edge off later.
Sure, and I know, and I mean, I'm not going to judge people.
It's 11 o'clock. I'm nearly there.
11 o'clock. Almost. Is it time?
Or the worst is it's 5 o'clock somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're drunk.
I think it's horrible for people who are addicted. Addicted. You know, they can't help themselves. Yeah. Wake up in the morning, first thing they need is like that drink.
Yeah. Ooh. I saw a Dr. Phil thing, yesterday. Yeah. I watched the video.
Dr. Phil?
Is he still drinking?
No, but this person that was on his show, oh my God. He drinks about 3 bottles of vodka a day.
Can't be so.
Yeah. He's at the... What is the 0.02 whatever level? He's at 0.5 every day, which is basically fatal. He fell at one point onto the back of his head. He hit it against a safe.
Oh, shit. That doesn't go well because a safe doesn't give way.
Right.
Damaged an artery or something in his head.
Oh.
The blood flooded to his face, and he had this like mask of black everywhere except his mouth.
So he
went down his neck and everything. Yeah, they showed a video because the cops had a video where they were called, and he was lying on the floor and just non-responsive.
The things that people, and remember, alcohol is the one like socially acceptable drug in this country. Everyone drinks, right? And everyone is okay with drinking. When you hear stories about kids who started drinking, who was in here the other day?
Costa.
Said he started drinking at 12.
Wow.
That was this guy.
Yeah.
And his family used to giggle when he had a drink at 12.
Now, we used to joke about having a puzza face, but you do end up with a puzza face at a certain age, and your nose gets like that pickled look.
Yeah, it's that Hugh Bladen kind of look.
Kind of swells.
You do. It gets, and then you get
know what I mean?
You get that bar rash where no matter the season, you're a little bit, reddish.
Sure. Bar
it's
rash.
It's called a bar rash.
Bar rash, yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
You often get it like when you go to like certain neighborhood bars, you'll see a guy who's suckling a Chardonnay at like 10 in the morning because his wife probably just drops him off there. It's like, well, you just go there, and they're just bar rashing hard.
Well, Sia was saying there's this guy who he knows, we were talking about the other day. He knows this dude who goes to a bar and he sits there like any time. Just hoping to meet someone.
In Parkhurst.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, I must go there tonight. I'm gagging for a free drink.
He's still there.
I'm gagging for a lonely glass of wine.
Yeah.
Filled with regret.
The bar that he's at, what I quite enjoy is...
The bar that he's at.
We discussed it after the show, and Leanne did verify that she knows
this. This guy should have an app, and you can just schedule your drink with him, and he'll just be there all day.
Where he's at, you get the wine out of the wall.
Oh, wow.
It's just this tap that comes out of the wall.
Classy.
And one's labeled red and the one's labeled white. And if you order a rosé, they just mix the two.
No wonder he's there.
I'm not even joking.
Place sounds delightful. It's everything you've
got. This is the theme that plays in that bar every night.
They have that crusty, crummy carpet.
Oh, well, it stinks.
They have an old school jukebox there as well.
Yes, and there's also a machine that you can play cards or something, but it's porn, basically.
This is Jolly Roger.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Jolly Roger. I've been there a long time.
Have you been there, Ben? We were trying not to.
Everyone's got a story about the Jolly Roger.
So. I don't, hey. I'm embarrassed to say. Like, fine, I have Gareth. Stories. No, no. Maybe
we should do our year-end function there.
No.
I'll bring you, come to my lounge.
No, I don't think so. I got stories about other places.
So many
not
times.
Not funnily enough, I've probably been there once in my life. It's very
just
weird.
It's one of those things that, it's like Billy the Bums. You never go there as a primary kind of plan. Mm-hmm. It's just where you go because of geography and puzzle.
It's where you go where everybody knows your name.
You know how
don't want people to know your name with Jolly, though.
You know how narrow this is.
You've thrown your name so hard, so often.
Oh, yeah. You know I've had to collect my purse the next day.
No.
Very many times.
Your
Hi.
Purse?
Hello. Yes, it's the pink one.
That's so embarrassing.
Yes, Leanne, it's in your cubby hole. You can come back and get it.
And once I was at home and I realized my car wasn't in the driveway. So I started walking and I found it next to the Jolly Roger, actually outside Solly Kramer, with the keys in the ignition. Ben,
bad.
Don't look at me like that.
No, I'm not judging. I've got a far worse story about the Jolly. I'm just wondering if I should tell it or not.
Dude, tell.
Circle of trust.
Dude, tell.
I'm not sure. This is one of those darker stories you just don't tell people, but I'm sure I haven't told you this. So I was at YNX one year. Like, you know, YNX is a big deal.
Uh-huh.
I was getting so drunk. And I was like, this is probably 12, 13 years ago, a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And I met this girl there, and we started talking, and then she's like, oh, where are you going after this? So I had no real plans. Anyway, so we end up at the Jolly.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds fair. So I literally have spoken to her for maybe 35, 40 minutes. So I don't, there was no like major depth in conversation other than the fact that we were now going to go to another place and keep drinking.
Mm-hmm. So were you traveling together?
No, I was going to meet her there.
Right.
Okay. But this is back in the days when you were driving and like I was much younger, okay? We're talking mid-20s here.
And you could bribe a cop.
Yeah. Anyway, so I get the Jolly. So I get myself a drink and she arrives and I get her a drink. And then she's like, let's have shots.
Oh.
Sure. Like, that's like the law when you're in your mid-20s, right? So you're not drinking, you're not having shots as well. So we drink like 20 minutes or so. She goes, I'm just going to go to the toilet. Are you sure I haven't told you guys the story?
No, yes.
Continue.
Okay, so then, now this is at the top of the Jolly, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
where it's got a deck, it's so where you have your pizzas.
If you've been to the top of the Jolly before, it's like a smaller bar, and then the toilets kind of release onto the bar.
Mm, yes. And the toilets stink of urine because it's actually ingrained in the tile graft.
Yes. So if memory serves, the ladies on the right, the men's on the left. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So now, obviously, I'm not watching her walk to the toilet. I know she's going that direction there. I just got back to drinking. And then I kind of look around. And I'm thinking, like, she's been quite a while.
Yeah.
I'm not going to judge.
No, I'm sorry.
And then I look left, and she's literally walking out of the toilet, but her pants are now off. She has removed her pants.
No.
Yes, no pants.
So she's just got a top on and panties.
Yes.
No.
She was open, Ben.
Goo-goo.
What the Bill Cosby's going on in the corner?
She was open. The only contribution you made in the last 15 minutes is that line.
So crass. Bill Cosby's nephew.
Yeah.
So now, obviously, I'm quite taken aback by this, because now everyone's kind of looking at her. So then I kind of look at her and she's not looking at me and it hasn't quite clicked that she's not wearing the pants.
But where did they go?
Yeah, and this is where the mystery then becomes a bit darker. So I kind of walk towards her to maybe like say, you kind of not wearing pants.
Yeah,
and she's like, I left them in the toilet. So she walks into the men's.
Huh?
Wait, even that realization, like,
she took her pants off in the men's.
How?
Wait.
Really?
So that's, you turn left. So now I went in there thinking like, okay, you've got into the wrong toilets.
Mm.
No, there were her pants on the floor.
Oh my
And now
God.
she's now like swaying.
And here, by the way, just from the observer's point of view, this is a dangerous situation because...
Yes. This is like even before
Ben
Me Too.
Ben is following a woman into the men's toilet. She has no pants on. It looks mm-hmm. dodgy,
so
right?
Had people noticed her?
It looked like I was pushing a drunk girl into the toilets with no pants on. That's what it looked like, okay?
Sure.
Now, bear in mind, I'm drunk, but I'm not a mess. I'm quite good at holding my booze. She's finished, but like out of nowhere. You know, like sometimes you just flick a switch.
So she attractive?
Yeah, she was attractive.
Okay,
I think that's not important.
It
but
matters. No,
it does matter.
Trying to sketch the picture in my head.
So now I'm trying to actually. Now at this stage, she's now against the wall, but she looks like she's maybe going to throw up on me, or things are going to go south, and she's going to fall over. So now I'm trying to get her pants on her. Actually,
oh God,
which is one of the weirdest things you could ever say you've ever done. I try to get pants on a girl in the Jolly.
So if we were videoing that, we could just reverse it and say
Ben,
sexual predator, basically locked me up 25 to life.
By the way, this woman is still shivering in an institution.
So now I've kind of got like the feet are in the pants, and I've kind of got her against like but like pictures. It's next to a bloody urinal, and there's like a little ledge. So I'm trying so hard to get her pants back on. At this stage, guys are coming in and going, "Yes, this but." And then I can hear this like someone's popping a chick in the.
Oh no!
It was jolly as you would imagine, and now a crowd is gathering. And now, like, I'm just thinking, just try to get this done, just try to get this done, just focus on getting your pants
back
on. And
you weren't even at the draws.
No. It's dark at the end. But yeah, so now at this stage, she falls over. So now she's fallen on the floor, and I'm kind of like three quarters up with the pants. But I'm at the stage now where I'm just thinking, I'm at a loss. I'm sure she has a friend here with her or something. So now some other girl storms into the toilet and goes, "What are you doing?"
Oh, no.
As in now, like, I'm the bad guy. Because my word is spread that some guy's pumping a girl in the toilets. And this is all just going so badly. But now she's kind of like vomiting a bit. She's passing out a bit. So then someone calls an ambulance, thankfully.
Oh, my word.
I'm now obviously trying to defend myself. Go, it's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like.
Shame
now. The security's in there. And it was just, I was thinking, like, how did this go to here like after 20 minutes?
Yeah, that's the very short window of time for things to go so badly south.
Jeez, baby.
Anyway, so then a friend of hers does arrive. I think she was just as drunk, but she held it together. Again, I had to plead my innocence towards her. And then like 10, 15 minutes later, paramedics arrived. And they actually got up there, and then she was stretchered out of the jolly.
Oh, my God.
So if you're at the jolly that night...
Have you ever been carried out of a place?
Well,
I
was put in an ambulance outside the jolly. I'm sorry. I hate topping people's stories.
Well, that's obviously why the ambulance came so quickly, because they had like a panic button. It's like, set the jolly.
I was across the road meeting someone I'd met on Tinder. But I arrived not in a good state.
Were you at Winex?
And he was horrible. And
wait, were you drinking because you were?
I was drinking. I was actually drinking
not
because I had social anxiety.
He was drinking because the sun came up that day.
No, I really. I was nervous for this. I hadn't been on a date.
It was
in
one
ages.
Of those days that ended in day.
And I put
which is a good drinking day.
You know those days
end.
Where you have to put on nighttime makeup during the day type thing,
worse, yeah.
And wear your shortest skirt and your highest heels, and so I did. And
suit up.
Got there and wasn't in a good place. And he was horrible.
Gosh.
So I decided
horrible
I'd
looking
I'd
or
leave.
A horrible person?
I decided I'd leave and I walked out. Horrible everything. I walked out and I fell onto my knees. Tripped on the pavement onto a beer bottle.
Jesus.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no.
So I have the scars to prove it.
It's still there.
Leanne's just produced her knee.
And it was bleeding really badly, and so an ambulance was called.
Oh, I was okay, so it wasn't drunkenness.
What?
Partly.
But no, it was a medical emergency.
Yeah, and that is a lot more dignified than my story.
It is too, I suppose.
And, I don't know.
And I tell you what, to the girl who the story is about, I hope everything's gone well since then.
You didn't know her name or anything.
At the time, I'm pretty sure I did, Gareth, but it escapes me now. And right, needless to say, we didn't actually see each other afterwards. I don't even know.
Well, I think dignity needs to come into play, and that's why you didn't see each other.
But this is what youth's about, eh? You go to a place like the jolly, you throw it out there, and this is how you get stronger. Got to learn from your mistakes. That's how you grow.
Yeah, that's a good story. Now I've dropped strippers off at home. I've done some. Yeah,
excuse me.
Before Uber, good on you.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you do? You know,
it's community service, really.
Yeah.
They can't walk home now, can they, Gareth?
No, and you've been
try walk home
you've been keeping
heels.
Her busy with table dances all night. It's only the right thing to do.
This is what I'd love to know. You have what do you say as she closes the door? Because you need to still exchange some pleasantries, like "Thank you for this evening. It was lovely. Bye bye." What do you say to the stripper?
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Cheers and slap her on the ass.
You say cheers and go easy on my credit card.
Which she's stolen while you were driving.
Strippers are people too, Sia. You can say whatever you say to other people.
Yeah, you don't have to feel bad about it.
Sleep tight.
I mean, she knows what she does for a living. She's not that worried.
Imagine Sia, bye stripper.
Bye stripper.
You know, Sia's so mean
quite
to women.
Quite leery. Bye stripper.
Yeah.
You guys lead very colourful lives. Let me just put it that way.
All right, so let's talk rugby, Ben. People want to know. What do we need to know? I mean, how... No, seriously.
Okay,
like,
are we going to win?
No, probably not.
Okay.
Because the England team,
thanks,
from what
Bye.
I've heard... Okay,
here's
a little bit of intel. I never talk about rugby because I don't know anything, and I'm not a massive fan, but this is a World Cup and it is a final. If there's ever a time to get excited, it's now. And anyone who isn't at this point is just on purpose being a douchebag.
Yeah, like you have been for the last however long.
Yeah, but that wasn't a World Cup and it wasn't a final, Ben. And I'm not... It's like me telling you you've got to get excited about a play recital at a kid's school.
No, it's not, because who gives a toss about kids? This is a grown man. This is the highest level of a sport that this country cares about.
Add some actual killings.
I don't know what Oliver Twist with some snotty six-year-old. But these people are willing to die, Gareth. This is the biggest moment in their lives. When was the last time you met someone who was just about to experience something in the biggest moment in their life? Put that in perspective with these people.
You mean the rugby players themselves?
All of them. I'm going to run out there. It's their biggest moment, right? For a lot of people.
That I agree with.
My problem is
the kind of people who are fans of this stuff, who are the same ones who are complaining that, but Faf just kicks, and that other can't catch. The ref is definitely biased, and those guys.
Okay, so just to kind of... I know, because people love to bitch and moan, and that in itself is a sport in South Africa. So just to kind of give you a very sort of brief introduction toward the Springboks, these guys were eighth about 3-4 years ago under the Alistair Coetzee regime, okay? Mm-hmm. It was a shit team.
Disaster.
I don't know where they were going.
You were here.
It was a disaster.
We were moaning every single week.
And then in the last World Cup, we lost to Japan.
Yeah.
Heineke Meyer, I think, maybe a bit underrated because he played quite a smart game. He was given more time. Maybe he could have achieved something. But they put Alistair Coetzee in there because he was the right sort. I don't know. They wanted it as a coach. And he was shit. He was just shit. He did nothing for the Stormers, really. You know, everyone gave him a chance because of experience. Like, he was around the whole time. You know, it's like thinking, well, if I go to a nightclub every single night, I'll end up with the prettiest girl. No, that's not how life works. Alistair Coetzee just being around didn't mean he was the best coach. So when Rassie took over, this team wasn't an absolute disarray. And he said, okay, look, I've got zero time with these guys. Because remember, all of our franchises are completely all over the place. It's like herding cats when you want to get a bok team together. With New Zealand, they all play in that village called New Zealand. And everyone knows exactly what they're doing. And then the players, what they do is they migrate around the teams so they can constantly work on the all-black game plan. England as well. It's a tiny little island. And the guys all play into one kind of system. In SA, you've got different unions. Everyone does different things.
Not to mention all the players who play overseas.
That too. So then Rassie gets these guys. There's varying levels of fitness because of varying levels of professionalism at these clubs.
Right.
So that guy can only have one game plan. And it's a direct game plan. It's territory-based. And you kick. So now when everyone goes, but these guys just kick, it's like, what else are you going to teach someone? Just imagine you have a dog for a day.
Yeah.
And you got to enter into a dog show. What are you going to teach that dog? To sing Mozart, fry an egg, walk on his feet? No, you'll just basically say, roll over, but do it well. And that dog will roll over all day. Be the best rollover dog ever.
This I can understand. You put it in dumb language.
That's what Rassie had. Rassie had just to show this team how they can roll over. And they're doing it well. And then you go back to the fighting spirit, and that's why they play the way that they play.
Yes.
And at the same time, the only way you win international rugby games is by kicking. It's a territory-based game. The team with the most possession generally is the team that loses. But people have these strange narratives like, yeah, but back when Donnie Herber used to run the ball. That was a long time ago, and Donnie then became a drunk. So you can't keep using the same analogies, unfortunately. This Bok team has one game plan and has taken them to the final. And this is a team that offered nothing. We got dicked like 57-0 years ago by the All Blacks. 57-0. That's like a school play.
And listen, at the beginning of this World Cup, there weren't that many people sticking their heads out going, this is going to be a finals team.
Exactly, but here we are.
Now everybody's suddenly an expert.
So it's not about, are the Bucks going to win tomorrow, and then being critical. And yes, Valilivi has played like dog shit for over a year. So I'll agree with that. He's just very lucky. I don't know if he's cleaning Rassie's braai for the next millennium. Whatever it is, he's lucky to be there. I think Faf de Klerk could be a better kicker, but he's a great player. And he's part of that system. So Rassie knows this team he can take all the way. Now they are all the way. They're not going to change anything. They're just going to try blitzing the English, and they're going to try out-muscle them and basically just cover all their bases.
Yeah.
England are a better team, so they can adapt and they can do better things. So they are the favorites, and there's no doubt about that. They are probably the favorites by 6. And ultimately, if they win tomorrow, it is the ultimate World Cup win.
Yeah.
Because they would have beaten Argentina in the pool stages. They would have beaten Australia in the quarters, New Zealand in the semis, and SA in the finals. So they would have beaten the entire Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, they had a hard...
They've had it really hard. Eddie Jones done so well. This will be Eddie Jones's third final as a coach. So the guy really is everything. Like, he knows all these kind of things.
So that's another question then. Do they deserve to win? Yes, they do.
Well, you don't deserve anything in sport, really. Because
sport
doesn't give a shit about who you are.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think anyone ever deserves anything. I mean, if that was true, then...
So what's the betting like at the moment? Have you checked on the odds?
So you would probably get about 1.5 for the English. So you put down 100 bucks, get 150 back. You probably get about, sure... 2 and a bit for the Springboks. So there are, I mean, look, the stats and all that kind of stuff would say England by 6.
Okay.
And as long as the Bucks don't get off to a bad start, I reckon they can take them all away. And then we've got guys who can kick drop kicks. So I think as fans, as South Africans, as rugby people, don't worry about, are we going to win this game tomorrow? We've got a final.
Just
to really enjoy.
Here's what I don't understand. It's the same as these people who expect their relationships to last forever. Like, enjoy the moment. You're in a Rugby World Cup final. How often does this happen?
Mm.
This is exactly the point I wanted to make. So we are so quick to not enjoy moments in South Africa, right? It's like, oh, what a beautiful sunset job at the Crom. Or like, oh, this is we're having such a great time today. Oh, yeah, but you know, politics. But it's like the Springboks. Oh, they won the game. Oh, yeah, but they just kicked. Like, we've got to enjoy moments. Like, we've got to enjoy something. Like,
listen, you can't help people who think that way. They're the same people who swear at you in traffic when you actually let them in.
Yeah.
No, there's a bunch of angry, miserable.
Exactly.
And
guys,
if you go on social media, you'll see all of them at their very lowest and most basic. So I don't worry about what people think.
Yeah, so if you're looking from an analytical point of view, I think England has just more firepower because they've got greater resources. As simple as that. Mm-hmm. But they do have quite an inexperienced loose trio. And what it comes down to in these big games is that the Bucks will play for penalties. They'll keep it tight just so they can get in three-point range, and then they're going to try hit three-pointers all day. So if the Bucks win 6-3 tomorrow, they couldn't care. So there could be some infringements of the breakdown if Jerome Garcés, who isn't... I don't know, the French don't speak breakdown. So it's a lottery as it is there. So, you know, we've got more composed players in the forward pack. We've got the double tight five, which means that we're very intense throughout the whole game. And Cheslin Kolbe's back. So that's the one change from last week. Cheslin's like the business.
Yeah.
Cheslin.
People wanting Cheslin to play fullback so Billy can just finally watch the game like all the rest of his fans. But no, Rusty just says, look, we're sticking to it. England are completely unchanged from last week.
Haven't England got a couple of injuries? No?
No. They've done very well. I think nowadays, like, people are just so much smarter on how they handle the players. Sure, the games are getting more and more intense, but they are very well handled. And thankfully, there hasn't been any major injuries with the big teams. Because that's the last thing you want to see is, like, a team going into a game.
So what are you doing for the game tomorrow, Ben?
So going to a friend's house, relatively low-key. Going to watch the game, Bri... Like, this Japan World Cup's been amazing because the games have been like the peak day drinking times.
Perfect.
So you watch the game, you either have a couple sneaky ones beforehand, like a breakfast beer or something, but then the game's done and then you got like an earliest kind of braai. So you can have like a full day, and then by 5 you could be like, that was a full day, I can go home now.
Yeah,
and then you don't have to go to the jolly.
Yeah.
Embarrass
yourself.
So Japan's actually helped us in so many different ways. They've been an incredible host nation for the World Cup. It'd be interesting to see how their sport progresses from here, because the Sunwolves were given the flick from Super Rugby, and that was meant to be their chance for Japan to get into the world, even though there was maybe 2 Japanese guys in their entire team, which is not as bad as the national team's got about 5, I think. But yeah, it's been an incredible, incredible World Cup. But also, something else I'm massively excited about, because I see your attention's gone on this. Something excited about...
I've got to get to the 5 things.
Yes.
Don't panic.
Yes, but this weekend in fighting, which is my new...
Fighting!
Fighting!
I invited Ben to something. I gave him like advance warning. It's like 3 weeks from now or whatever. And he said, "Ah, but I'm going to be watching now MMA.
Oh, you watch MMA now, Ben?
Yeah, but 14th December. Yeah. Lucas Duplessis, Brendan Lazar.
Dig it.
Are you going to check it out?
All of it. Yeah,
have you got good seats?
Yeah, because I'm creating a video series around Lucas. So nice. I went to his place last week on episode 3 of 6.
Does Gord still commentate at those things?
No.
Or do the...
No, Gord, we know. I can only do one.
Oh, that's
one
right.
Yeah. Anyway, you know what? Let's talk about this later in the hour if we've got time. Let's get to the news, Gary.
All right. A couple of things that are going on in the news you need to know about. First of all, civil servants in Eswatini took to the streets again on Thursday, demanding better pay after the delivery of luxury cars to the royal family, which has caused fresh uproar in the tiny African kingdom. Formerly known as Swaziland, Africa's last absolute monarchy was rocked by a series of strikes last month by teachers and workers over the cost of living. 700 civil servants rallied in the capital, Mbabane, on Thursday against the rule of King Mswati III, who they accuse of draining public coffers at the expense of his subjects. Well, they're not wrong.
Mm. I saw the video that sparked everyone's attention around the story, and it, you just see Rolls Royce after Rolls Royce after Rolls Royce after Rolls Royce.
It's disgusting that this useless sack of shit who is calling himself the King of Swaziland. I mean, do me a favor. First of all, if you go back in history, the Swazi people were subjects to the Zulu people, right? Mm. The king of the Zulu was the king of the Swazi. And then what happened was somewhere along the way, they established themselves as a kingdom because they were a British protectorate. And when the British gave them their independence, King Sobhuza said, I'm going to make myself the absolute monarch. And they said, well, we understand that rather well. We've got a queen ourselves. So they let him. And now he rules this place. I mean, an absolute monarchy in 2019? You've got to be kidding me. And then he orders himself as almost as if to give the middle finger to the poor. But he orders a bunch of Rolls Royces. Really? It's just so crass.
And that's why we have stereotypes.
And where are you going to drive these Rolls Royces on your filthy, stupid, pothole dirt roads?
Yeah.
Really? That's what you're going to do, you idiot. How about you build a nice road so that the people of your country can actually benefit from some of that money? Probably straight out of their tax money anyway. It's not like you're out there earning money.
Exactly.
Mswati III. He's also the one who claims a new wife every couple of months. So you've got to see this video. These cars are just extraordinary. And I wouldn't blame anyone in Swaziland for losing their mind over this stuff. In other news, after 8 months... Finally, big surprise, and they did it in time. They said they were going to open the M2 highway.
Oh, yes.
The old carriageway through Johannesburg.
8 months of hard work.
Give credit where it's due. This is amazing because nothing ever happens on time. Think about Kusile and Medupi power plants and all the rest of it. These guys opened up the road. Well done there. The motorway is accessible from Monday. After 8 months of construction, the Joburg Road Agency said the newly refurbished M2 motorway would be waterproofed and be preserved for the next 50 years or more.
That was my favorite part of the story. They've waterproofed it.
Yeah.
Well, did the other one not get waterproofed?
No.
No, it didn't. Did you feel how bumpy it was?
Are the other bridges not getting waterproofed?
No. It's just that one.
I wonder if the speed limit will change because it was 80 for most of the way.
Listen, these schools in this country are dens of iniquity. I mean, we've spoken about teachers who are busy banging the whole team. Mm-hmm. We've talked about all the pregnant schoolgirls from all the teachers.
Yeah.
Well, disgraced Glenwood Boys High School. You know where Glenwood is, see, it's in Durban.
I went to health school with them.
Did you? Cool. Sure. Well, the headmaster, Trevor Kershaw, has pleaded guilty to defrauding the school of more than 5.2 million rand. Through his duplicated claims, homemade invoices, and manipulated vouchers. He's 58. He was headmaster at the school from 1999 until 2016 when he resigned under a cloud. He now works as a store man at a firm owned by his brother.
Why was he a store man?
He's putting things on the shelf.
Does he just store things away? Yeah, it's like, well, that needs to go somewhere, call the store man.
From being a principal to that.
Well, he obviously thought he could like go under the radar by being a store man. It's like a witness protection.
Yeah, after taking 5.something million.
5.2.
It's a lot from a school. I mean, you're not talking from...
While he will serve no time in jail,
how?
3 million rand is the cash value of assets which were seized by the asset forfeiture unit and will be released to the school. He managed to store up 3 million in assets.
Well, that's where he became a store man.
Right.
Oh, that's why.
Good at the storing, this guy.
Kershaw has a 10-year suspended sentence hanging over his head, and under correctional service supervision legislation, he'll be under house arrest for 3 years and required to do community service and attend rehabilitation programs.
He should be forced to work in the school tuck shop with like a bib that says fraudster.
Yes. Now
10 years.
You see, Ben, you come up with such creative punishments.
Because we need to be punished in this world, these shit people.
I agree.
You imagine every single day you get some little dipshit asked, like, where's my hot dog? And he's wearing this thing saying fraudster.
Yeah.
Then he'll know what crime is about.
Hey, headmaster, where's my hot dog?
Yeah. Hey, dipshit.
Yeah, there we go.
And you can pay for it, seeing as you stole the money.
This is a great deal for him. I'm sure he's not.
But this is no, it's not a great deal. Listen,
no, he's getting house arrest.
Yes, but he's not a violent criminal, so you don't need to put a non-violent criminal into jail.
That much I agree with. And he didn't interfere with the kids. He just stole the money.
He didn't interfere with the children,
but he interfered with the books.
He should get a star for that.
He's a book molester.
This day and age.
Yeah, these days, we're just happy if a headmaster doesn't interfere with the children.
Yeah, ultimately,
really,
that's frankly. What's yeah. That story was almost a relief when you said that convicted someone. Oh, okay, it's not child molestation.
Thank God for that. All right. Undercover Joburg Metro Police Department officers seized three firearms, including an AK-47 and a white Audi in Amalgam. You know where that is?
Oh.
Leanne, you know where it is. Come on.
Sounds like the South.
It's in the South.
Yeah.
Amalgam.
What is with the South and these exotic kind of names?
Amalgam.
Yeah.
Amalgamate, but...
It's the South. That's all they've got. JMPD spokesperson Wayne Minar said the department's undercover officers drove past Shisanyama.
That's where it all begins.
Dorado Avenue at 3 p.m. and noticed a suspicious vehicle. I always wonder, how do they...
Yes, what is it, wearing sunglasses? You know, is it crab walking?
The officers made a U-turn and approached the occupants of the vehicles. The suspects opened fire on the officers before fleeing on foot and leaving the car with firearms inside. Unbelievable. Apparently the officers shot once, ensuring that they did not shoot innocent bystanders. That's nice of them.
That's good.
No arrests were made, but they are going to check on who owns the vehicle and where these guns might have come from.
Well, it wasn't them. No. Pretty sure they didn't own that vehicle.
Exactly.
They stole it like the headmaster.
And here's, for those of you who are convinced that big tech firms are after you, Apple have been synonymous with names like iPhone, iPad, and MacBook. On Friday, the company hopes it will be synonymous with names like Jennifer Aniston, Oprah Winfrey, and Snoopy. Apple TV Plus is finally coming out. The company's long-awaited streaming service launches on Friday in more than 100 countries. The service is Apple's foray into prestige content, and it debuts amid the so-called streaming wars, which pits big media against big tech in the battle for consumers' limited time and money. The launch of Apple TV Plus is a big moment for the company. CEO Tim Cook, the phone's slumping sales means Apple's got to convince existing customers to pay for services on phones and laptops that they already own. This is going to be interesting. Are you going to get Netflix and Apple Plus and blah, blah, blah?
I can't even get through what I've got on Netflix.
Exactly.
I never want for anything more than what's on that menu.
Exactly.
Can I get more stuff? Why?
Well, there it is. Those are the five things you need to know this morning. You want to go to some messages?
Yeah.
All right. Ben, speaking of kicking, I watched a documentary on Nas Buta on YouTube last night. That man was a genius. Recommend everyone watch it.
Where did you watch the documentary?
I'm playing golf against Nas this weekend.
That's Nas.
That's Nas, yeah.
Yeah.
But on the other end.
No, we're playing that Stan City Challenge, so it's us versus a whole bunch of old Proteas, Springboks, and Bafana players.
So you guys should win.
And the trash talk is intense. No, but those oldies take it so seriously.
There's Nas on your four ball.
No, so Nas is captain of the rugby team. He's always the captain of the rugby spun.
Okay.
And he always just... Nas is actually really, really funny. I've mentioned this before.
Yeah, so a great sense of humor.
So when we have like team photos and there's like 50 of us, Nas, he's always the guy with like the best chirps, and he's so scathing towards the cricketers. Like, he's funny. And like Tox is there.
Tox and Chops.
Like real like big names from yesteryear of sport. So we got all those like Bafana guys from 95. They're going to be there. The bar is going to get absolutely obliterated.
Some of these guys are fun and some of them are a disaster. Do some of the more drunk ones come and play as well?
They do, and to their credit, they do behave. But then I always leave just before dark.
That's a good idea.
I'm not sure what happens post that.
I'm loving the stripper chat. This is an interesting message. This comes through from Neil. I've done the opposite. I got driven home by a stripper and then had that awkward goodbye kiss.
Thing with the pleasantries afterwards.
Neil, I almost feel you've told us that story before.
I feel like that's Neil's thing.
I think that's happened more than once to Neil.
How do you get a stripper to drive you home?
You ask her, and she's a nice person. Like I said, Sia, strippers are people too.
Okay.
Exactly.
Here's an interesting reminder, Ben, of times gone by and you being wrong. Vincent says, remember the last time that you said the Springboks were going to lose? And then they won. You ended up high as a kite on Mary Jane. The Bucks will win.
Great. Cool.
All right.
But I mean, like any sports prediction, like firstly, I jinx teams. And secondly, that's not the point about tomorrow's game, is what I was trying to say.
All right. Hey, guys. What's the name of the braai restaurant in Rosebank that you all mentioned last week? A braai restaurant in Rosebank? No, I think you mean the Chinese food that we did on House of China.
Oh, Biru. I still haven't been, but I intend to.
It's very cool. You cook your own food there.
I'm going for a massage. Like, I'm having a Rivonia day today.
Oh, you're doing a Rivonia day?
Yeah. Gonna go to Skin Sense, get the massage.
Okay. And there are lots of things you could do in Rivonia, some not so salubrious.
TripAdvisor would have me heading down a little bit further south. Yeah. North, sorry.
TripAdvisor.
When in Rivonia, top 5 spots.
This is actually a really dodgy neighborhood.
Imagine doing like a Travel Channel show, and we're in Rivonia this week, where it's lights and glitz and not so much of the glamour. And then you just at the
This is why Top Billing is out of business.
It's more like teasers, glitter and schmutz.
Is teasers still a thing?
I think it's still alive.
And tease hers, is that still a thing?
I don't know.
Oh, unfortunately, it is.
It is.
Unfortunately,
you've sampled.
No, I've never.
I mean, do hen parties still go there, or like?
I remember. Listen, there was a time where that was very popular with the hen parties.
Yeah.
They would all head out there, and then the girls would get really drunk and really bad.
But
men have to behave in a strip club because they get beaten up or thrown out or both.
Yeah. Women grab.
Women grab.
But see,
I have to say. On one drunken evening, I phoned Lolly Jackson.
Here we go.
There's another story.
You cut your knee out.
We were on a person-to-person basis. It was all good. Hi, Lolly.
Yo, what's up? How's it, Leanne?
So you know that new strip club that you're opening up for women?
I open it especially for you, eh?
You know, I was thinking you could call...
Yes, sis, but I'm trying to talk on the phone. Can you shoot someone else, please?
You know... I was thinking you could call it Tease Hers. That would be really funny.
Did you honestly come up?
Yes.
You really? Leanne.
Can you believe it?
You gave him the name.
Yes.
Tease Hers.
Yes.
Anyway, did he laugh?
Sounds like such a Leanne kind of joke.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And that was it.
You actually
I wasn't
going
to go after him and say, listen, where are my naming rights?
Shit. You named Tease Hers.
I genuinely believe you. I have no doubt in my mind.
There's no reason not to believe her.
But you should have gone after the name.
She has lived.
Yeah, you have seen some things. You have zipped it
and done it. So you were going to say that the hen parties in those days?
Yeah, as a gay, do you go to Tease Hers? Like, is that a thing that's...
Yeah, do gays go to Tease Hers?
I personally have not. I don't know anyone in my social circles who has. And we've been to more the Magic Mike shows.
Okay.
Because those are more up our alley.
No, but the reason I ask is if you don't have the gay audience going to watch men dance, then you're constantly wanting just the hen party audience. And that's a small audience.
Because it's also... that you don't get them to recycle, even if they...
Yeah, they're not going to pitch up.
Even if they are serial divorcees.
You don't get women who are going to go drop cash on Ukrainian men in tight things. So therefore,
also, they can get that for free.
They can. So that's why I'm thinking, like, it'd be very surprising to see if it is still open, because unless it's literally just like a room now on teasers so that they have no overheads. Sorry, I'm thinking of this far too...
Such a businessman.
Yeah, but I don't see how that would have actually worked.
Plus, you have to keep strippers in stock then, and that costs money.
Yeah, you've got to give them water and daylight and feed them from time to time.
I know a lot of the gays who are complaining about too many hen parties in our places.
That is a big problem.
It is.
Unfortunately, the gays have great clubs, and they just know how to party, right?
Yeah. The gays are amazing.
Listen, I'll tell you something.
Suddenly the straights roll in. So I went to a function on Tuesday with some gay guys, and they were saying, you know, the other night I was at Babylon, and some woman was, some straight chick was mouthing off about the fact that her heel had broken or something, but she was just drunk and annoying. And then eventually this guy says, oh, just shut up and get the fuck out of here. We want our club back.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now, I've heard similar stuff.
It's getting nasty.
It's very serious.
The gays are getting quite territorial now.
Women love gays.
Sure, but there are so many straight places to go.
Hagbags, they call them.
Just let the gays have their place. Maybe there can be like a straight night.
There's actually nowhere else to go these days in Johannesburg.
Just gay bars.
There really isn't. Yeah. So
that's not our problem.
No,
we want a 2-2-2
good point.
You guys are allowed to get territorial. You're allowed to claim your space.
Why must the gays be the social saviors? Yeah. Oh.
We have our own...
The choice?
Essentially, we have our the gay square in the Lovo area because it's just like Babylon right there. We have Beefcakes right there. Just don't... Don't mess with that.
It's like the union. It's like the union buildings of gayness in Joburg. Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah, I'm moving to Lovo next month.
Hmm. See, that's where Somizi's statue will be erected.
Yeah. There it is.
When he passes
Somizi will be buried in a. There'll be a big copper statue to Somizi in a Lovo
square.
And every midday, we'll go down and bow down to it.
Rub his thigh for good luck.
Well, here's an interesting message. I don't know, there's a lot of double entendre going on with Sean. Morning all, I'm hanging like the gardens of Babylon today. Thought I'd share.
Oh.
Suck me sideways, he says.
Oh,
gosh.
I wonder where he went. All right, someone says it's always good to hear Ken Barbinski back in the studio.
Oh, thanks, hi.
Yes, very nice. Gang is back. Thanks, Ben, for the rugby news. And the rest of the team are really sad when it comes to sport. That's from Michelle.
Mm. Hey,
it's an application issue, Michelle, unfortunately, because no one could be that dumb towards sport. Just that they're trying to spite me from...
Sometimes we know what's going on. This is my bit of sporting news.
See, you knew 80 minutes. That wasn't exactly like a moment to save. It's not rocket science,
yeah. South Africa, brace yourself because President Ramaphosa is out of the country. He's off to Japan.
Who's he put in charge?
Our acting president is Angie Motshekga.
Now this means she gets a presidential salary?
Is that how you say it? I've always said Motshekga.
Please don't go.
I've probably got it right.
Angie, basic bitch education, Angie.
That's where my sporting knowledge
is. Basic education, Angie. Oh, yeah, yeah.
President Angie
now. I'm so glad we don't have a nuclear button. Like people always go, they can't believe Donald Trump has his hands on the nuclear button, you know? He could fire off a million nukes if
there's
he needed
thing.
To. There isn't, but aren't you glad like Angie isn't sitting at the desk with a big red button on it?
Can you imagine what a weekend she's having? Because she's clearly going to have a party for this, right?
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly. She's going to take the presidential blue light brigade out for a stroll.
For a stroll. Through the city.
And she's the best he could find.
Well, I was a little confused because wouldn't it... Then instantly go to our deputy, but he's also out of the country as well.
He's in China, the strippers.
What about South Africa's Hillary Clinton and Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. She's around. She'd love that job. She's wanted her whole life is that job. She's such a Hillary.
Yeah, can't they just extend an olive branch for a couple of days?
A shame. Anyway, I've got some really exciting news for you today. Sex Talk is back at 10 a.m.
Oh,
they're doing a short series.
Oh,
Ben and Sia, what's going on?
They're doing a short series. The first episode will look at various aspects of female sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Suit you, so make sure you
oh my god,
make sure you listen to Sex Talk today, 10 a.m. And then
I saw John T like 2 weeks ago. He hasn't had sex in like 4 or 5 months, he said.
Oh, is he doing that tantric thing?
John T's October rocks not off October.
Yeah,
and no, he said, look, there's just no one worth having sex with at the moment.
Well, he's had sex,
with everyone, so. Yeah.
Not with me yet.
Well, then Leanne call him up, because
all you have to do is call.
I think John T, after 5 months, that's...
Yeah. You just bend over at the coffee machine to pick up a water.
He's probably quite good at it, yeah?
Oh, he's... I've heard...
John T's like the Gary Player of sex.
So I've
like,
heard from women...
What, all the majors?
I've heard from women in their 20s who've gone to his... what does he call them? His...
Officers.
No. He does a thing called...
Sexual correspondence seminars.
Man, there's a word for it. Yoni massages.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, he just fingers these girls.
Oh, my God.
But he lies them down on a table and he talks to them and he pats their head and he massages the body. And then
creates a sensual experience, Gary.
And then, and listen, I've spoken to these girls afterwards because they've been on the show. We've interviewed them. They've said it has been the most explosive, incredible, next level orgasm they've ever had in their lives. Wow. And they said that after that they feel like the gates of paradise have opened for them. They have a different attitude to their vaginas, to men, to sex, to hands, to everything.
Wow.
That everything is in technicolor as opposed to shades of gray. They said they just it changed their lives. None of this is too little to say.
Gareth, remember that time when you fisted that girl here?
Oh my God.
I unfortunately remember that.
Where my right hand is, there was a bed. There was a massage bed. And Jonty, like, he went to work on this girl. And,
sorry, Ben.
Hang on.
I think it was that exact mic, actually, that was used.
This was the mic.
Is that the fisting mic?
Like, he went to work on that girl. And then they interviewed her at the end. It was like she had literally just gone to the moon. She was standing there with Neil Armstrong, and she was just, she could barely speak. She was speaking in, like, tongues.
Was she trembling?
She was trembling. Mm-hmm. But she was levitating. This girl was like, it was an out-of-body experience. And Jonty, I mean, to his credit, he came out like...
Was he wearing a glove?
I don't want to know.
No, but like that was stamina, huh? And then
he was exhausted.
Like, Jonty walked out of there like he delivered 8 kids, and everyone was like high-fiving him and... Well, it was mostly just a few guys on a comedy show who are perverts anyway, so they were just there.
No, it was...
But it was a moment. Like, it was a moment.
It was something to see. So, today, our own expert, the guru of all sex, the king of yoni massages, Jonty Searle, is back with Sex Talk. 10 a.m., don't miss it. And there's something else happening at 11 a.m. Dory, who works in the office here,
is a
massive 80s fan.
Endlessly.
Dory and Paolo are doing their 80s show live at 11 a.m. this morning.
Wow.
Their annual 80s show.
Right, so if you want to hear a whole bunch of really cheesy 80s music, you know, Dory's the only other person in the office who has bought tickets to AHA next year.
I'm very envious.
She's very excited. So don't miss that this morning at 11 a.m. It's going to be a busy live Friday morning. Exciting.
I just noticed the Sex Talk podcast still is up there with the live female orgasm.
Yeah, listen to that.
Like, listen to
maybe like fast forward right at the end when she talks. Listen to the whole thing.
Goddess L of Minx Magic.
Goddess L looks like she's done some things. She had no idea what she was getting into that day. I just remember it quite clearly.
She came in with a sort of side smile. She left here like she could walk on clouds.
She left it like she literally was the new Jedi. And Jane's face made it the whole day.
Bringing the magic of the feminine sacred into the reality of Orgasm Day.
There we go. This week, our debating show, The Interchange, asks whether government should regulate traditional practices. Many controversial cultural practices, like genital mutilation and forced marriages, are rooted in beliefs that have been passed down through generations, but it makes their relevance a contentious issue. In a world where traditions can be treated as fleetingly as a social media hashtag, what role do these old ways still have to play? Should the state have the right to ban or regulate cultural practices, especially when human rights are at stake? What must happen when these practices infringe on human rights? Well, you can listen to The Interchange on cliffcentral.com, on our app, or wherever you get your podcast. It's made possible by Absa and Simong. Go and take a listen to that today, too. You got lots of homework ahead of the rugby tomorrow. Shall we get ready for the next hour of our lives?
Yeah. All right. I got to go to work, but it's been nice being here, guys.
Thank you, Ben. Very nice to have you here.
And just remember, if you are a fight fan, the baddest motherfucker belt this weekend.
Oh, is that
Nate
what it is?
Nate Diaz, Jorge Masvidal.
Look at you. You've become an expert in this.
It's such a story. It's such a cool thing.
You applied yourself.
But they've actually created a belt to find out who the baddest motherfucker is, and they've called it the BMF belt.
That's fantastic. I like that they call it what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Ben Karpinski, everybody. All right. We will see you in the next hour. Get ready for your morning to get interesting. Lots of news and things we want to talk about. Plenty more. CliffCentral.com.